want to welcome all of you here this morning. This is the second Sunday in January. Also on the church calendar, it's the baptism of our Lord. We're going to also welcome those of you that have joined us via our Facebook Live and on our phone patch. We're going to open with song number 253, Now Before Thee, Lord, We Gather, number 253.
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, shall we give thanks and pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you and bow our knee to you. You are the one who established the foundations of the earth. You laid the cornerstone thereof and determined unto what these foundations would be fastened. You set the limits to the bounds of the sea, and have ordered all that we see in your wonderful creation. And you have created us, dear Lord, for the purpose of bringing glory unto your holy name. We who are called the apple of your eye, we who are called the pearl of great price. So we bow our knee before you this day and humbly ask that this voice that has been from the beginning of time would be today as our brother rises to speak. A voice of comfort, a voice that assures us that our sins are forgiven and they are paid for and they are separated as far as the east is from the west, from your memory. So we thank you for this great salvation you have given to us, and we ask as we go on day by day in our lives, we would more and more see the beauty of this salvation that you have provided for us, full and free. Oh Lord, you know there are a myriad of needs, physical needs of healing, health. There are needs for psychological healing and social and even financial needs. You know all of them. And you ask us then to be the burden bearers for your people. So we ask that you would, by faith, allow us to believe today and to trust and to know that these things are in your hands. But awaken us to see where we can do what we can as you direct. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we pray for our church nationwide and our congregation here in particular. We pray for our nation as so many changes are about us. And we ask that you would be the one. You are the one who has looked down from heaven and seen all these changes. And yet you have remained the same. So have this constancy in our hearts this morning and in our lives as we face the future that none of us know, but we are trusting and assured that you hold the future for us. Hear us as we pray as your Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue with hymn number 4-4-3.
Thank you.
The appointed psalm for today is the 29th psalm, and it's on page 439 in the Pew Bible. So we will read Psalm 29 in the name of Jesus. Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sharon like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf, and discovereth the forests, and in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. David writes this psalm and repeats many times the voice of the Lord. And he says to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There is a beauty in holiness. And oftentimes we kind of get this a little sideways in our mind when we think of us worshiping the Lord in holiness. We think of how our life is going, if perhaps we're avoiding sin for a time and we seem to be doing well. We would say that, well, I guess I'm worshiping the Lord in this holiness. But it's speaking of a far different holiness than anything that we have been able to identify and point to in our own particular lives. The beauty of holiness where no sin will stand in the presence of God, where God will not countenance a single sin. And it is such that how then can a sinful man, who we are, as we confess in our catechism that we sin much every day, how can we stand in the presence of this sinful, this holy God? And so that is really the heart and soul of the entire message of the Scripture. It is the message of God's grace, how he hasn't overlooked sin, because the vengeance of God was poured out on that day called Good Friday on our Savior, the faultless one, the one who knew no sin, who became sin for us. So in this holiness, we see the holiness of God in Christ Jesus, and we worship in that holiness, because the progress we make in life, avoiding sin and trying to do the right thing, it comes and goes, and we can really be on this roller coaster of performance. And the enemy of the soul, when he sees us on that roller coaster of human performance, he says, yes, that's what I want you. But the Lord has us on a different path where we walk hand in hand with Him and we see our righteousness and our holiness in Him. Quite fitting with all the what's going on in nature with the fires and the hurricanes, all of this in the news. The Lord sits upon the flood. He divides the flames of fire. We see in these events of nature that have been going on forever from the past, and in the past there have been much more dramatic incidences of nature than we are experiencing even today, as serious as the ones are today. Those who have lost homes and lives and families are in upheaval because of these things. And yet the Lord of glory sits upon the flood. He divides the flames. And this is this holiness that we have such a difficult time grasping. Why? Why? And yet we see the answer to this in Christ Jesus our Lord. And any other explanation for this falls short, and it goes into man's human reason. And yet so we are before Him, as before Him, silent as we turn to His Word. And we hear and believe that the voice of God, the voice that came when Jesus was baptized even, that voice is in the mouth of our brother as he rises to speak. And by faith we believe that, and this voice then creates this faith in our hearts where we can believe and trust and see the goodness of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with hymn number 283. Thank you.
greet you with the grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. May he be with you not only this day, but ever henceforth. Amen. The marvelous gift of the gospel that we sing about, that we proclaim, it's a gift, isn't it, that God has supplied unto us. You know, one of the lines that we just sang, it says, speaks about the word spoken in weakness. You know, we find ourselves frail, don't we, as far as the abilities that we have to be able to speak this marvelous gift that God has given to bring the proclamation of the gospel. Because we find ourselves, as we stand before the word, each one of us is sinners. And yet, as believers, we have been made righteous through that gospel message. You know, it's something that the mind can't comprehend. We would love to be able to find a way to exactly understand all of this, and yet the matters of faith aren't so, because they are matters of the heart. They are matters that God himself has designed, has created within us to bring to us to a place where we would come before him in meekness and in humility. You know, the word is a powerful word because, as we know, it has created all of the things that we see. It has created the world around us. It has created the natural things. But I think even more powerful and more important is that he has created a living soul within each one of us. Something that resonates with our God. Something that is able to communicate with our God. A God who we don't see. A God that we can't touch and that we can't feel. And yet, because of the work of the Holy Spirit, we can come to that place of hearing the voice, not of man, but of Jesus. You know, the gift that God has given is that he has created within us that ability to receive something that is not a part of this world, to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, the promise that Jesus made in the book of John, as we, you know, I would encourage you again to read the 14th, 15th, 16th chapter of John. Read the entire scripture. But, you know, in speaking of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is very specific in dealing with the Spirit and its interaction with us and with those around us. You know, and Jesus promises us that the Spirit will lead us unto all truth. You know, and he brings that word in such a way that it comes first to us. You know, as John in the 16th chapter of his gospel writes that, you know, he says that when he has come into the world, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judge. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. What is it that is of Jesus? What do we know of Jesus? We don't have his physical body here, do we? The cross is empty. You know, he was put in the grave. The grave couldn't hold him. You know, the stone was rolled away from that grave. He walked on this earth for, you know, and met with about 500 people, as the Apostle Paul says. And then we have the record in the book of Acts, how he ascended into heaven and sits upon the right hand of God. We don't have his physical presence. But we do have his word, don't we? The word that is in the beginning of Genesis, and it ends in the book of Revelation. It's a word that cannot be changed. You know, that's the amazing gift that our God has given us in the scriptures, is that, you know, if he had simply put us in the electronic time early on, how difficult would it be to be concise on what the scriptures are? You know, we have spell checks, we have AI coming into the world, things that, you know, that have their own design within a certain framework. But we have a God who took the word, and I would encourage you to read this word. This is the beginning of the year. You know, make a plan, whatever it takes within your life, to take this word and make it a part of your life, your existence. Because this word is life. But this word, when it has been given to us, when this word is supplied unto us, this word brings to us that which is able to sustain us in time. You know, it is God's gift to us. This word that is encapsulated within, you know, the years, the amount that God has given us, the 66 books of the Bible, you know, the blessing that He has supplied, is that these words remain the same in a natural sense. But more importantly, we can go to the knowledge and know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the hope that we have as believers, that we can trust in, that this work of redemption that He has accomplished for us, you know, this gift of salvation that He has supplied, it's not something that's going to fade away. It isn't a substance of this world. There isn't anything in this world that can give it to us. And yes, we are members of the body of Christ, and we have been given these keys as God has spoken, you know, as the word, as the song we have sung also says. But these keys aren't ours to deal with in the manner that we would often think that we can define who we open and unlock the door to. Because this voice and this message of the gospel, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to the entire world, to everyone that believes. You know, the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans was so marvelous in speaking of that gift in the 10th chapter. You know, we've probably heard it many times, but Paul says, for there is no difference between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. For they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it is entirely in God's realm, isn't it? In the work of the Holy Spirit to take this word and make it living and alive within our hearts. For this Spirit to allow us to hear this message of the gospel and to cleanse our hearts. And to bring this gift of salvation. That's why we partake in Holy Communion. Is because it points us where? Not to an act that we are doing, but unto that which God has performed for us. How are we worthy when we recognize that it was for me? You know, that's what the Spirit does. It causes us to look and say, this is for me. You know, we can say that God loved the entire world, and He truly did. He gave His only begotten Son that no one would perish, and that He did. But most important, dear brother and sister, is that you would know in your heart that it was for me that He died. That you can receive this gift of the gospel because it comes free. It's a gift of grace. It is that which by faith we are saved. We have a God who loves us with an undying, eternal love. He continues to allow this message to go out. You know, this message should have been stamped out in the early centuries. You know, before the second century even began. But there's much more to it than just the natural feed of the believers carrying this message. It is God's provision and His care. It's God's guidance and direction to us. You know, that's why He calls us to go into this world, to speak wherever we are of this great, great gift of salvation. This work of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. We're going to turn to the third chapter of the book of Luke, the gospel portion for this Sunday. I appreciate the church calendar. I hope that each of you have time to read it. It's easy to read now. You know, our federation has a link to it. You can either download it onto your own device, or you can read it, you know, there on the church website. But it even gives you the option simply to read all. You can read each of the four portions of the word that are set aside. And I just You know, I just love the time to be able to look at these different portions of Scripture. There's usually an Old Testament, and there's a Psalm, and then there's an epistle text, one of the writings of the apostles, and then there's one of the Gospels. You know, and the early church fathers who wrote this early in the church history, they put these together, and they must have meditated on these things over and over again, because they have such a beautiful tie, so these together. And I love to look at the links. Well, where is this drawn from, and why did they tie these verses together? You know, it's a beautiful exercise in using the natural gift that God has given in our minds to be able to look at His Word, and then to ask of God, of His Spirit, to lead and to guide us, to show us the truth in this Word. So we're going to read from the third chapter of Luke, as I mentioned. We'll begin reading with verse 3, and we're going to conclude with verse 22. And that's found on page 752 in the Pew Bible, 752. So reading from Luke chapter 3, beginning with verse 3, reading in Jesus' name. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Then said he to the multitudes that came forth to be baptized of him, "O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, 'We have Abraham for our father.' For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he answered and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then also came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed unto you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them, "I indeed baptize with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff shall he burn with fire unquenchable." And many other things in his exhortation preached he unto the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias his brother Philip's wife, and all the evil things which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Amen. As we know from the title of the church here, the focus really is on the baptism of Jesus. You know, and I've meditated and pondered this thing for years. What is the purpose of the very Son of God being baptized? Why would Jesus need? He was the Son of God. Why would he need to be baptized? I think if we were simply to use logic, we'd find ourselves in a quandary, wouldn't we? But the very fact that we understand and know that He came to become the propitiation for our sins, that He came in human flesh, that He became like us, you know, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet He was without sin. And so then my mind begins to ask that question, well, if He was without sin, then why was He, did He have a need to be baptized? Because, we have various, have had over the years various understandings of what baptism is and what it performs, and I think it's important for to discuss those things, because they are a part of the church that we belong to, the church history that goes back generations and literally millenniums. The fact that there is this baptism, the Jews had baptism, there was a washing that they did, there's a great power in that, and I think it's important for us to know. The fact that Jesus was baptized is very significant. It stands out in my mind as an event that, we certainly do not want to ignore. And I think just as important, we want to recognize our own baptism, don't we? Because if it was significant to Jesus, it's significant to us. Because it plays a marvelous gift that we have in the life of faith. And I thought before we go into this part of the text, and I took more than there was on the church calendar, because I think of the context, the fact that we know that John was a preacher of righteousness and what he preached, and I think it's important to know that the scriptures don't stand in just a couple of verses. We want to, when we read the scriptures, we want to read a broad spectrum of that scripture before and after, because it gives us the context. Very often we can take things and say, well, I understand this, and we take one verse or a part of a verse and say, well, this is what we're going to hang our hat on. But I think it's important for us to have the entire breadth of the scriptures at our grasp, to be able to study the word in its entirety, so that we understand what God is speaking to us, and not begin to form our own understandings and our own ideas on the matters. But this matter, which is the matter of baptism, is something that we find simplified in the catechism. It's something that has caused divisions within churches, over the centuries. So I think it's important to know where we stand and what do we believe. And so we're going to go back just here for a little bit. Some of us who were confirmed have gone through this, and probably most of us that would desire to know it. I think it's a good word to be able to hear how it is written. So the question is asked, what is baptism? And the answer is, baptism is not simply water, but it is water comprehended in God's word and connected to God's word. What is that word of God? That which our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So in other words, Jesus didn't do something that he didn't say, this is going to continue. He didn't start something and say, well, this is a one-time event. It doesn't have any other significance. And what benefits does baptism confer? Baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives everlasting salvation to all who believe what the words and promises of God declare. And so this brings us into the realm of faith, doesn't it? To believing what God has declared, the promises that He has made. Not man's, promises and man's understanding, but what God has declared. What are those words and promises of God? Those which Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Mark. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. In other words, he ties faith as the important matter, doesn't he? Yes, the acts are important, just as we spoke of the keys of the kingdom. That declaration of the gospel is important. But it's the word believed in the heart that does its work. And so it is with baptism. Even though, and we hold to infant baptism, and it doesn't mean we don't baptize adults who haven't been baptized. You know, but infant baptism, we think, well, with my mind, I would say, well, I never was a part of that because I didn't understand it. But we have the testimony of the believers around us that point us back to what was accomplished there. Because it wasn't accomplished. It wasn't man's work. It was entirely God's work. And we know that Jesus took a little child and set him in the midst of the disciples. And what did he say? Of such is the kingdom of God. And so how can water do such great things? It is not water indeed that does it, but the word of God, which is in and with the water, and faith which trusts this word in the water. For without the word of God, the water is simply water and no baptism. But with the word of God, it is baptism, that is a gracious water of life, and a washing of regeneration of the Holy Spirit, as St. Paul says to Titus in the third chapter. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we might be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. What then, what does baptism with water signify? It signifies that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die, with all sins and evil desires. And again, a new man daily come forth and arise, who shall live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Where is this written? The Apostle St. Paul writes, Romans 6, chapter 4. We are buried. Romans 6, chapter, verse 4. We are buried with Christ by baptism into death, that like as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk in newness of life. And so Jesus brings to us in this gift of baptism, of him being baptized, that knowledge that we also will rise again. The entire work he brought to our benefit, so that we can have that hope of eternal life, the resurrection that goes beyond this time that we live. And this time is precious, and I know that. It's precious to each one of us. It's a blessing that God has given us. He wouldn't have created us without a purpose here. He's given us the gifts and the abilities and the word to supply and to take care of us each and every step along the way. And what does he ask us to do? He asks us to trust him. To lean upon him, to lean upon this word that is life to us, to be able to come to this gift that God has supplied. You know, and God brings to us this gift of repentance. You know, this word comes as, you know, we've heard a lot about John, I think, in the church calendar over this Christmas season. He's been a part of the church calendar in many different weeks. You know, and because that work of repentance is important. You know, it's important to us as we walk on this earth, because it brings about a work of humility in the heart that Christ here portrays for us as Jesus, who didn't need to be baptized, but because he took upon himself our sin debt, he submitted himself unto that. He brings us to that place where we recognize who we are and our need, you know, for repentance and for faith. And so as John went about preaching the baptism of repentance, it tells us, as it is written in the word by the words of Esaias the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. You know, this is the preparation that God works in the human heart, in your heart and in those that we speak to in this world. I think it's important to recognize that. You know, that we don't go about and try to change people outwardly. You know, that we don't try to speak of those things that we see in a natural sense, but that we speak about Jesus, that we speak about the need to be received into the heart of man, this faith that is able to cleanse the heart. You know, because God is the one that cleanses in the outward way. You know, Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and what was one of his complaints against them? You know, he says, you wash the outside of the cup and the platter, you know, but you take no care for the matters of the heart. Because that is where man struggles. Outwardly is simply a manifestation of what's in the human heart. And so when God brings that into the forefront, then it's important for us to recognize that this work within the heart is most important, first and foremost. That the work of faith would be brought into that heart. You know, the work of condemnation, when we begin to look at the outward and try outward correction, it brings condemnation, doesn't it? Because you're not doing something like I'm doing or like some, you know, the standard that we have set up. But the work of faith brings into the heart the work of Jesus Christ. This work of salvation, this cleansing power that takes the sin that is causing the effect within the heart for man to suffer and to hurt. And it brings a healing. That's the voice of salvation. You know, we think about the songs that we sing, and they have such beautiful messages in them, don't they? Songs of praise unto God. You know, throughout the years, we've opened with a hymn, you know, which is praise to God. You know, the songs that we sing, they speak of our daily life. You know, and that's a gift to us, the songs of praise. There's a contemporary song that has, the words have really struck me. And the title is, The Song of a Broken Heart. You know, there are so many broken hearts out in the world. And it's manifested in the things that we see that go on in this world. You know, hearts that do not know the peace of Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to bring to them, that message that brings peace. Because with that message of the gospel, the message that your sins have been forgiven, Jesus has atoned for them. It brings peace to us, doesn't it? Isn't that where our joy is? The joy of salvation is that which resonates within our hearts. Because that's what the gospel declares. The gospel doesn't say, go out and preach forgiveness, you know, to those who turn according to what you think is turning. Sometimes God works in so many various ways that we just don't see or don't understand. But He wants us to bring that message that your sin debt, Jesus paid for it upon the cross of Calvary. He died because of His shed blood. You can believe that. That's the message of the gospel. It's not a gospel that we can contain. But it is a gospel that He says, go into all the world and share this message of His love towards mankind. And that's what Isaiah is saying here. He says, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And that's what John was doing. He was the one that was prophesied to come into this world to prepare the way of the Lord. It says, all flesh shall see the salvation of our God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He starts off very strong, doesn't he? You know, and sometimes that message has to come out that way. But let God be the determining factor in when that message comes out that way. You know, God has given to John this message. You know, he warns them. He says, bring forth, therefore, fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children. You know, so in other words, he was speaking to the Jews of the city of Jerusalem that had come out to see him. You know, he was not speaking to the Gentile people who knew nothing of God. But he was speaking to people who knew God. And he says, you know, your faith is in Abraham. You're looking at Abraham and saying, because I'm a son of or a daughter of Abraham, then I'm okay. I can do whatever I want. Because we see the answers here. He says, and now the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He's bringing the message directly to God's people here. And the people ask, saying, what then shall we do? You know, and it's interesting, all of these questions that come. Because I think that's our humanity. Remember when Peter was preaching there at the time of Pentecost? When that word became so powerful, that was the question that came to their hearts. When that word that spoke to these Jewish people of who this Jesus was and why he had come. And so it says the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answereth, saying unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none, and to he that hath meat, let him do likewise. These would seem to be very basic things, wouldn't they, as far as a believer would do to support and to supply. And then the publican came to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? And he said, exact no more than what you have been appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanding of him, saying, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, be content with your wages. What was the word speaking to these people? Well, it was speaking in a sense the law, wasn't it? Because, you know, these were things that the law would lay out for them to do. But it was bringing about a conviction, because who of us can follow all of these steps perfectly? Who of them could follow them perfectly? It's not possible, is it? Because that's what the law does. It awakens us. It brings us to the knowledge that we need a Savior. And that's what this world needs. That knowledge that we need a Savior. That's the gift that God brings in the message as the gospel comes. You know, it brings with it that power to bring the knowledge of sin within the heart of man. You know, the Apostle Paul, who was so steeped in this law, knew it so well. What did he say? When the commandment came, what happened? He says, was I able to follow it? No. He says, the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And we have found ourselves dead in trespasses and sins. Then the gospel is able to lift us up. The gospel makes alive. It brings us to this place where we can rejoice in the goodness that there is in Christ Jesus, because he brings to us that mercy of God, that grace of God that is able to speak to us that your sins are forgiven. Jesus died for this purpose. And we're told here, as the people were in expectation, all of them mused in their hearts of John whether he was the Christ or not. And John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and will gather the wheat into his garner, but all the chaff will he burn with unquenchable chaff. You know, this is what God's work does with us. It doesn't elevate us, does it? John didn't elevate himself. He didn't say, well, I have the message for you. No, he pointed unto Jesus. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. I have no value when it comes to the work of my Savior, because he has provided all things. He has done it all. He is the one that brings to us this gift of salvation through his life work, through his redemption upon the cross of Calvary, and through his resurrection and his power to overcome the grave. And many other things in his exhortation preached he to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being reproved by him for Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and all the evils which Herod had done, added yet this above all, that he shut up John in prison. You know, this is the world around us, isn't it? This is the way the world looks upon those that believe. You know, it's a condemnation to them when a believer walks according to the precepts and according to the gift that God has given in the Word. But we know that this is not our battle to fight. This is not our design to try and overcome the world. Jesus tells us, as you know, his disciples must have truly struggled, as in the Gospel of John, when Jesus was telling his disciples that, you know, you're going to find a condemnation in the world. At the end of that, he told his disciples there in the 15th chapter, he says, because they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. You know, and then he told it in the 16th chapter, as we come to the end of the 16th chapter, he says, behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, when ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because my Father is with me. And then he sums it up for them and for us. And he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome the world, the devil, the world, and our own flesh, for this purpose, that we could have peace, that we can know the peace that is beyond understanding, a peace that, you know, the Old Testament prophets wrote about, that God would give, and that he has supplied us in Christ Jesus, that we can rejoice today, Because we have a song of a broken heart, we can sing the song of praise and of thanksgiving unto our Father. We can glorify Him. We can know that this gift that God has given, you know, John and his ministry was but 6 months is what many calculate. And yet, his name is written in the book of life. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon them. And a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom, in Thee, I am well pleased. This is whom God is pleased with in the work of His Son, Christ Jesus. And I want to encourage each one of you today to believe that gift. Believe the promise of the gospel. Believe it not because I say it or someone else says it, but believe it because God says it, that you can believe your sins forgiven. Why? Because He shed His life's blood on Calvary for you. And because He has been given a name above every name. You know, we draw that together in that beautiful blessing when one is troubled. Believe your sins forgiven in the precious name and through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it unto peace and unto freedom. Look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. What a beautiful gift we have to be able to, as Luther says, as brother can say to brother, we live in a golden age, thy sins be forgiven thee. We can trust the word, dear brother and sister. We can trust this gift that God has given. We can trust the voice of the Lord as we heard from the Psalms, because it is the voice of the Lord that declares from heaven, this is the one in whom He is well pleased. Unto Him be all honor, glory, power, and dominion. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's continue with song number 389 before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Number 389, I heard the voice.
Thank you.
Let us now pray with and for those who will now partake of the Lord's Holy Supper. Lord Jesus Christ, thou bread of life, grant that thy holy communion may be a blessing to all those who today shall partake of it, that through the power of thy body and blood they may receive peace and comfort unto their souls, and be strengthened in faith, love, and a lively hope of eternal life. Amen. Truly it is meet, right, and blessed, that we should at all times and all places give thanks unto thee, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, heaven is full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Let's now confess our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you.
Thank you. thank Thee, O Lord, Almighty God, that Thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech Thee that Thou of Thy mercy would strengthen us through this communion in faith towards Thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, Thy dear Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. Humble your hearts before God and receive the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's sing song number 173 as our song of thanks.
In case anyone didn't hear, all the bathrooms are now open, so yay to that. Schedule for this week, Wednesday Bible study, 7 o'clock, will be at Stan and Shirley's home, and then Friday, women's Bible study, 10 a.m. at Daryl and Betty's home. Next Sunday will be Bible study at 10:15 and morning worship at 11. We're going to close with number 58, and during this song, an offering will be taken.